I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into an early morning edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. The Jazz beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 113-96. It is early Tuesday morning. I was going to be, my plan was to do this podcast from the arena after I got some audio from Coach Snyder and maybe some of the Jazz players, but this was such a rough and tumble game and there were reviews, there was pushing, there was technical fouls, there was everything you'd want in a basketball game. And if you're a Jazz fan, there was also a big time victory for the Utah Jazz. So let me give you a glimpse into my personal life. As you're listening to the Jazz Notes podcast, by the way, let me tell you again, make sure you download this podcast. You can find it on the KSL News Radio app, but you can also find it on Apple Podcasts and other podcast providers. Download it there. Give us a rating also. Let me know what you think of the Jazz Notes podcast. Just me right after the game. And so right after the game, I'm waiting for Coach Snyder to come out. He came out. Coach Donovan also came out. And I was hoping to get some players. And I looked at the time and I'm like, I don't have time because like the last podcast I had to run to the train and then I broadcast, or I should say podcast, from the train. Well, this time around, I thought I'd do a walk and talk and I'd walk down to the train and let people know my thoughts. And boy, it did not sound good because I was out of breath as I was walking to the train and trying to talk. It's not easy to walk and talk as you're trying to also put your thoughts together about the game. But then I got down to the front runner station here at North Temple, not very far from KSL Broadcast House, not very far from the arena. And I looked up and I noticed there was no train going northbound. And then I realized that UTA, not too long ago, just changed their schedule, but I didn't check it. And so the train had left a half hour before I even got there. So there you go. There's a little peek into my life. I'm now waiting for a ride. I'm now in one of the TV studios here at KSL Broadcast House, and I thought I'd bring to you some of my thoughts about the Jazz's victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. What an interesting game. I got to the game late, but by the time I got to the game, the Jazz were already down by 8 points, and it was getting near the end of the first quarter. And the reason why I was a little bit late to this game was due to the fact that we had a special on KSL News Radio, and they asked me to produce it. And the special, it's a special we've done now 3 times. It's called Jazz Run Through the Playoffs, and we had one tonight that ran from 7 to 8:30, and Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell hosted that broadcast, and you can actually find it on the Jazz Notes podcast, the whole entire show. It's about an hour and a half long. Jody Genesee and Mark Eaton were on it, and then I singled out that Mark Eaton interview if you want to listen to it. Yeah, they talk about Game 4, what's coming up on Game 4, but I think you'll also enjoy the guys, too. They have good personalities, and if you know Alex Keery, you know what he's all about, and Scott Mitchell's a good dude, too. And they probably don't need me vouching for them, but there you go. I'm vouching for them. But go ahead and listen to that. Anyway, I was helping out with that broadcast, then I ran over to the game. And by the time I actually got in my seat and got my computer booted up and ready to start tweeting out a storm, the Jazz were down by 8 points. But it was kind of like Game 3. I mean, that's what happened in Game 3. And then something happened in the second quarter where things just turned around. And in my opinion, it was when Russell Westbrook picked up a technical foul, which meant it was his fourth foul, and they had to take him out of the game, and he couldn't be his aggressive self. Well, he was his aggressive self a little bit later in the game, but that kind of muted him for the rest of the first half. At that point, the Jazz were really not shooting well. They missed wide-open three-pointer after wide-open three-pointer. They just weren't hitting. We're talking even Joe Ingles, one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA right now. He wasn't even shooting and making wide-open three-pointers. But then Westbrook picked up his technical foul. And then another key play, I know it's kind of weird, but let's go back to the other night. Westbrook on Saturday night said he was going to shut Ricky Rubio down. Ricky had made a basket up to about, late in the second quarter. Donovan Mitchell starts driving to his left, and as he's doing that, he dribbles it off of his foot. It ends up in Rubio's hand. I believe he took like one dribble maybe, and then he makes the basket. And all of a sudden, to me, it seemed like the floodgates opened after that. Joe Ingles made three straight threes after that. And then his defense on Paul George turns into an over and back call. Jazz get one more shot at the end of the half. Donovan Mitchell drives past everyone, lays it up with Steven Adams right on his tail. And the Jazz had a little lead at the halftime. And that it was just an amazing series of events. Not unfortunate events that you can watch on Netflix right now, but an amazing series of events for the Jazz up to that point to give them that lead. All they did was keep sticking with it. And Quinn Snyder kind of talked about that. He keeps talking about how, you know, our offense can generate open shots, and eventually we'll start making them. He says, and I think we hit some key ones in the second half, not just the second quarter, but in the second half. And they really did, because they started off on a 9-0 run at the start of that second half. It was tremendous to see. I've talked about on this podcast how I want my Ricky Rubio fan card back. I keep teasing Spencer Hall about that, who could not join me for the podcast tonight. But anyway, I keep teasing about that. But I think I want to become a fan of the Joe Ingles fan club. And I think everyone, it's been talked about over and over again, I should say, why people love Joe Ingles. It's because he's the everyman. He's that guy. He's that really tall dude that you probably look at and say, I bet you he played basketball one time. But the great thing about Joe Ingles is what he brings to the team. And it not only just his shooting, but the kind of guy he is. It was interesting in the second half. And as there was a tussle and everything was going on, Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder, who I'll talk about in a minute, Jay Crowder, that is. Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder got everyone in a huddle after a little bit of a tussle. It was Rudy Gobert. He got fouled really hard. And he got all those guys in the huddle. And I don't know what he said, but he had a big smile on his face. I don't know if he was cracking a joke or whatever. And I'm sure he's talking about that. Or maybe he's not talking about it, or he's refusing to say. But everyone kind of smiled. And then Crowder started patting people on the head. And it was just really interesting. He brings this team together. He brings a levity. He brings just a team effort. He never looks for his own shot, I guess you could say. He is all about the team. But I'll tell you why I like Joe Ingles and why I like Jay Crowder, too. They are irritants, and they do not back down from anyone. And the Jazz need that on this team. And we saw that from Joe Ingles last year in the playoffs with the Clippers. And we saw what kind of an irritant he can be to certain players. And it's fun having that guy on your team. He's likable to everyone on your team, but people on the other team hate being around him because I don't know about taunting them, but he's never shy letting his feelings be felt to other people around him. Okay, I said I'd talk about Jay Crowder. I will do that right after this break. Again, the Jazz win. They win 113-96. They are now up 3-1 in this series. And also what we'll talk about is, will the Jazz be able to end this thing before coming back to Salt Lake City and get ready to possibly play the Houston Rockets? We'll talk about that next on the Jazz Notes podcast. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast, impromptu podcast, right after the Jazz 113-96 victory. Hopefully you're listening to this on your way to work, or maybe even on your way home, you know, if you didn't know about it before then, on your way home, or maybe while you're at work. So I appreciate you joining me. My name's Cleon Wall. I'm one of the hosts for the Jazz Notes podcast, probably the only one awake of all the hosts of the Jazz Notes podcast. Everyone's probably asleep by now, but I'm podcasting right now about the Jazz's 113-96 victory. Before the break, I said that I would mention Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder shot terribly in this game. He was 2-for-10. His most memorable shot was a driving basket, an assist, almost you could say an assist from Joe Ingles. It looked like Joe was going to take a shot right before the end of the third quarter, and then he just whipped a pass over to Jay. Jay drove hard to the basket, and everyone on Oklahoma City's defense was caught unaware, and he just laid it up and in. Jay was, I mean, he shot terribly tonight, but the one thing he brings is toughness. We kind of talked about that, and he sticks up for his guys. In fact, because he stuck up for his guys, he got fouled really hard by Westbrook late in the game, and then he flung his elbow and he got kicked out of the game with a technical foul. I don't think it was intentional, but the thing he brings is he brings toughness, and he, again, is another guy who's all about team, and he's all about being an irritant to the other team because of his toughness. And I remember earlier in the year he talked about how he thinks he could stick around the Jazz for a long time, and hopefully they can carve out a position for him. He plays three and he plays four. Of course, Joe also plays three too. But, you know, the great thing about both of those guys is that neither one of those guys seems like they're stuck on themselves. They just want what's best for the team. And you saw that again in Jay Crowder tonight. Jay did not shoot well, but man, was he tough as nails out on the floor in this game. Those two guys are kind of they're not the heart and soul of the Jazz, but they kind of represent, I think, what Jazz fans love about this team. Yes, you've got dynamic players and you've got big, tall Rudy Gobert blocking shots here and there, but those guys, they bring a workmanlike attitude to this team. But not only that, they're liked by their teammates, and they are irritants to the other team. And so you want those guys on your team. What more can be said about Donovan Mitchell? I know you're probably wondering, how the heck did I leave Donovan Mitchell until the end of this podcast? Well, it was just free-flowing in my mind, and so, sorry, I did. He ends up with 33 points in this game, a plus 22 in plus-minus. He had 33 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and probably one of the prettiest layups of the night. he got the ball on a fast break, and he just went down, and he glided up, and it was with his left hand, so he took off of his right foot, and he just glided over everyone. I'll have to give Zach Harper, if you're an NBA fan, you'll probably see him on Twitter. He's the one who said glide. It was just beautiful. He just exploded up and over and out, and none of the Oklahoma City Thunder guys could do anything about it. And afterwards, Coach Quinn Snyder was asked about the special player, if he imagined, you know, Donovan Mitchell turning out to be this type of a player. And in typical Coach Quinn Snyder fashion, he kind of downplayed it, but I think he gave him a nice backhanded compliment. Let's have you take a listen.
You know, Donovan's, you know, I don't think he's trying to do anything special. He's playing. And if that's the, as I said before, if that's the right read, we want him to hit that gap and get to the rim, and it opens things up for other people. I think, you know, when guys are making shots, it makes it hard to help. And, you know, he's done a good job of getting in there and finishing or dropping it off. And it's an important part of what we do. He's our most dynamic offensive player. And when he's doing that and, you know, he's getting help from other guys, whether it's pick and roll or, you know, guys driving and kicking to him, and then he's able to get in there, it's just that's how we want to play.
He just plays. That's the thing. That's the thing about Donovan Mitchell. He just plays. All he wants to do is win. The Jazz recognized very early in the season that he was going to be their most dynamic player, and they turned the car keys over to him. And really, no one has any problem with this 20-year-old kid doing what he's doing. They just don't have a problem with that because they know he's the best player on the floor. And he goes about and he does that. But the thing is that he is still a team player too. You know what? Everything I'm mentioning is nothing new. Everything that I'm mentioning is stuff that Jazz fans noticed throughout the season, and that's why they love them so much. A lot of people were talking about how the crowd was crazy tonight, maybe even crazier than Game 3, and you've just noticed that this season, that the fans are just grabbing onto this team, and they love them. Now, are they going to be able to finish this series in Oklahoma City? I think that's the big question. Wednesday night, they are going to play in Oklahoma City. It's not going to be easy. I would assume that each one of the Oklahoma City guys, they're going to come out on fire. And I don't think they win. I just don't know. Let me give you an example why I don't think they win. And I think Jay Crowder said it best with his motion tonight. Again, after Rudy Gobert was fouled really hard and they were patting each other and, you know, building each other up, Crowder circled back to the Jazz bench. Now, I don't know what he said. I'm only going by his actions, but he kept pointing to his heart, or where you think his heart would be, and he kept pointing to his heart. Now, maybe he's talking about the Jazz have a lot of heart. They have more heart than Oklahoma City. But he showed his what I could tell, and, you know, again, I don't know what he was talking about, but this is just I'm going to interpret for him. He pointed to his heart, and then he pointed down to Oklahoma City's bench, and then he shook his head. And I thought, yeah, what he's basically saying is Oklahoma City really does not have any heart. And so that's how I'm going to end this podcast. I think that the Jazz actually end this series on Wednesday night in Oklahoma City. I think it's because the Jazz have more heart. I think it's going to be a tough-fought game because Oklahoma City is desperate. But I think the Jazz are desperate, too. They want to end this series now. They don't want to, you know, extend this series anymore because they know that Houston also won, and they are now up 3-1 in their series, and they're going back home. I think the Jazz want to end this series in Oklahoma City so that they can get a little bit of rest and get ready for an amazing Rockets team. All right, that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Hopefully you're driving safe if you're listening to this in the car or if you're out on a run or anywhere else. Again, give us a rating. Download us. Let us know what you think. We love the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll be back again on Thursday. I think it's going to be myself and Alex Carey as we talk a little bit more about the Jazz post their game against Oklahoma City on Wednesday night, Game 5 in Oklahoma City. We'll talk to you then.